We know seed is the foundation for every crop, and we want to do everything we can to give our crop the best chance for success. One way we can do that is through seed treating. Despite that, one of the most common questions we hear in spring is to treat or not to treat. Welcome to the Wheat Profit Podcast. I am your host, Agronomy Extension Specialist with Sask Wheat, Carmen Prang. And today I am joined by Derek Flad. Derek grew up on a farm near Macklin, Saskatchewan, and after obtaining his master's at the U of A, is now a manager of agronomic solutions with Nutrien. Thanks for joining me today, Derek.
Thanks for having me.
So Derek, let's back up and start with the basics. What are the benefits of seed treating, and why should farmers maybe consider leaving seed treating as part of their program?
The biggest thing I always kind of go back for year after year is that, you know, seed treatment, what it allows you to do is allows the plants to thrive in conditions that we can't predict, but we can prepare for. We don't know the conditions that we're going to run into up until probably about the week or two before seeding each year. So it allows us to, you know, prepare for those conditions. And, you know, at all else equal, can we plant untreated seed in good conditions and be okay? Sure. For us to be able to predict those conditions and when and where they're going to occur, we can't do that. So, you know, the biggest thing for me is it's, you know, good agronomy and good risk management kind of go hand in hand. And it just allows us to sleep better at night as we kind of get going this spring season.
So we know some of the benefits, but maybe what are some of the factors that play a role in deciding whether to treat or not to treat?
Two that really come to mind too are going to be the environment and then just seed quality in general. You know, so, you know, when we're looking at the environment, you know, generally every condition is going to provide different disease pressures, cool and dry, cool and wet, warm and dry, warm and wet. We're going to have different pathogens that thrive in these different conditions. Warm and dry, we're looking at Rhizoctonia, Fusarium species, some common root rots. Wet years, we're going to Phantomyces, Pythiums, Phytophthora. And, you know, we just never know what those conditions are going to be. So basically, a seed treatment allows us to cover off all of those conditions with, you know, either our base or our premium seed treatments. So that would be kind of step one. And, you know, we look at Western Canada this year, typicals that are normally wet, the Peace Country, Northern Alberta, Northern Saskatchewan are a little bit on the drier side in some cases. And Southern Alberta, you know what, most years we can't buy a rain and we actually are seeding in some very wet conditions in some areas too. So it allows us to cover it off. And, you know, when we're looking at seed quality, we can't treat our way out of poor quality seed. So the best seed treatment, you know, a lot of ways is that seed test to get that germ, get that vigor, get that disease. So we know what we're dealing with. You know, if we're seeing disease on that seed, you know, Fusarium, you know, a lot of the times is an F word that farmers don't want to hear. If our levels are low enough, you know, generally 10% less, you know, 10% total Fusarium, 2 to 5% F gram. If we treat, we're going to be okay. So, you know, the biggest thing too is, again, just making sure that we use contact and systemic fungicides, which most seed treatments have, and then we're going to be good to go in the spring season. And, you know, the other thing when it comes to seed quality, clean seed. We need good contact with these seed treatments on our seeds. So we want to have clean seed. If we have dirty seed, we have a lot of dust, we have weed seeds, that seed treatment isn't going to get to where it needs to go. So just another kind of a call out too. And then kind of a, you know, a personal thing for me too, is just knowing that TKW of that seed too. So, you know, a lot of the years we can have some very big variations in terms of 1,000 kernel weight and just seeding, you know, at a bushel and a half, 2 bushels. With the seeding equipment that we have available to us nowadays, it's not precise as it could be. So, you know, when we're looking to save money down the road, you know, we're looking to reduce costs or optimize costs, knowing that TKW can allow us to vary that seeding rate to where it needs to be to get to that optimum plant stand for sure.
You mentioned some wheat diseases already, but what insects are seed treatments going to help us manage?
Insects, you know, the biggest ones, you know, specifically for a cereal side is going to be wireworms. There's a lot of products out there, you know, sometimes we can run into some cutworms and some armyworms, and there is a seed treatment for that as well. But primarily the, you know, the biggest, you know, pressure that we have is going to be wireworms. Being kind of a hedger that I am, it's risk management to get an insecticide seed treatment on that seed. Do we need that every year? Probably not. But again, you know, it kind of goes back to the cropping history. And, you know, the provincial pest and risk maps across Western Canada, whether it's Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Alberta, they can also give us a general idea, too, on where our pest pressures are going to show up to, again, to make that educated decision if we want it or not. You know, if we look at some other crops, for example, pea leaf weevil would be one. We don't have a lot of registered insecticide options anymore. So, again, too, do we need to spray for pea leaf weevil every year? No. we might have 1 or 2 years where we could run into issues with peat leaf weevil generally in some areas of Western Canada. But again, do you want to be there that year where we do have that pressure and we're not ready for it? So again, regardless of crop, just kind of looking at what your risk tolerance is, utilizing these maps, and again, making that best decision for your acre.
Thanks, Derek. So we've covered a few different issues. We've talked about a few insects, a few diseases that affect our crops. But how does a farmer decide whether they should use a seed treatment that covers diseases or insects or maybe both?
I think it just kind of goes back to talking with your local agronomist, talking with your extension agents, talking with your retailers, who you do business with. At the end of the day, we want to have put your crops in the best position for success. So it's really going to depend year by year. At this time of year, if farmers are at hemming and hawing between a seed treatment, generally 9.9 years out of 10, a fungicide seed treatment is going to be enough to cover off the risk for your area. If a farmer's hemming and hawing, I'm a big fan of trials. The best trial you could ever do is a treated seed versus an untreated seed in the same field, and you'll see it. And, you'll see the vigor, you'll see the pop-up effect. So generally, if we're going to err on the side of caution, get a fungicide seed treatment on there. And then, talking with your agronomist in your local area, making that decision for an insecticide seed treatment, but would suggest fungicide at bare minimum.
Great. So we've talked about the benefits, but maybe on the other hand, let's talk about the downsides. We know that cost is maybe one of the biggest downsides and maybe the biggest reason why farmers decide to cut it out of their program. But what are some of the other negatives to using a seed treatment?
None. The biggest thing for me is, especially this time of year, growing up on the farm, when we were setting depth, checking seeding rates, it was always, come on, Dad, let's get the tractor going, get going, get going. The biggest thing is once the seed's in the ground, typically we can't add more to an existing stand. At the start of the year, once that seed's in the ground, that's our maximum yield potential. That's our maximum revenue potential for the year. We can have conversations about switching between different herbicides and make those decisions based on the conditions we have at hand. Seed treatment, you only get one shot. And that's the biggest thing for me is, again, it is a cost that it seems pretty easy to cut out. In some years, we can take care of it. But basically, I don't like shooting ourselves in the foot at the start of the year if we don't have to.
Do you think that there are any challenges that farmers are faced with when treating seed?
Kind of the biggest ones, always here is the hassle, the time. And, I've never seen a response to it. The biggest thing for me is you're never going to need a seed treatment until that 1 year you do. We all know the risk involved in agriculture. But right now, when we look at the crop prices that we're seeing at the end of the year, my kind of statement would be is, can you afford not to? Because at the end of the day, yes, these products are expensive, but they also help you realize revenue at the end of the year. I mean, that would be the biggest thing for me. And when it comes to the hassle and the time crunch, and a lot of times we're using Bin Run or Safe Seed, there's a lot of custom seed treaters in the area. Be able to leverage those as well too, because I know in parts of my job, there's some things that I'm very good at and there's some things that I'm not. And that's where I leverage my network to help me with those are the things that I'm not good at. And that's where I'd work with your local retailers, your local seed treaters, your local seed cleaners. There's options available and well worth the investment. It's not a cost, it's an investment.
Interested in more wheat agronomy? Join Sask Wheat on June 20th in Regina at our semi-annual meeting and 10th anniversary. Hear from guest speaker Phil Needham on crop management and how to increase yields and farm profits. We know the pros now, we know the cons, so if you are going to move forward and use a seed treatment, let's talk about best management practices. Maybe the first one being, when should I apply the seed treatment? Can I apply it, maybe 2 weeks beforehand and let it sit on the truck or in a bin? Or should I be applying it when I know I'm going to seed the day before?
I'd probably say it's more of a good, better, best scenario. Storage is going to be key with these products. If it's too wet, it's not going to be a good thing. If we're treating way before, we can kind of talk a little bit. Treating cold seed rarely works out well, too, and we're looking at coverage. So, if we are going to be treating in advance in good conditions, cool and dry storage, it's going to be a good thing. Generally, as long as we're cool and dry, that the seed's going to hold its germination and vigor, at least getting into spring. But the caveat is, the longer you store, the more variables you're introducing. So that would be the conversation too, is, we have a lot of time in the winter, make sure we're making that plan on what we want to do and how we want to do it. Specifically with cereals, we can't return unused bags too. So we don't want to be, treating way more than we need. And, we also don't want to do that passive shame where we're putting in a couple passes of untreated seed as well too. So the easy agronomist answer is always, it's going to depend, but generally the closer to seeding is best. But if we need to store, as long as we're storing cool and dry conditions, we're going to be okay leading up to the planting season.
After we treat our seed, we are often cleaning out our equipment and trying to make sure that there are no residues left. So can you comment on that?
think it's just very important that we have a plan in place and how easily we can clean that storage after the fact. Some farms have dedicated seed treated bins. Some farms use Super Bees or just, with the tandems or even the grain truck. The one call out I would probably have for this is just make sure that we're easy access to clean after the fact. When it comes to keep it clean and when we look at market dynamics at play, we can test a lot of these products down into the parts per billion, in some cases parts per trillion. So make sure that we're storing the seed in the spot that we can clean it out after to get ready for the harvest season would kind of be my only big call out there. And then every answer for every farm is going to be different than that. Generally, just make sure that we can clean it out once we have that seed in the ground for sure.
So there are commercial applicators out there that can come to your farm and treat your seed. But if you are treating your seed at home by yourself, do you have any tips for us for applying the product to make sure that we're getting it on evenly and really giving us the best chance for success?
First things first, take your time. If you talk to any agronomist, they're going to tell you a drip application system isn't perfect for seed treatment. But again, if we're putting on a base fungicide treatment just to cover our bases, it's still quite common in Western Canada. So making sure we're taking our time, don't run that auger full, because we want to make sure that we're dripping the product onto the seed, but we also want to make sure that we're using that flighting to making sure that seed's traveling up and we're spreading that fungicide evenly on that seed. Generally, the warmer conditions, the better. A lot of the times we want to get this out of the way first thing in the morning. Wait for those temperatures to climb. Right now, our nighttime temperatures are anywhere between 5 to 10 degrees Celsius. Generally, that's on the low end to where I'd feel comfortable. But whenever we want to do it, make sure that we're waiting to the mid-afternoon if we can. You know what? Steel is cold, your coffee, you're cold out there. Just because your coffee's hot doesn't mean you should be treating seed. And the biggest thing too is calibrations are important. Make sure we're taking the time, especially if we're running commercial treaters, make sure we're taking time to calibrate. And if we're running a drip system, visual coverage is your best friend. As long as that seed's red, it's evenly, it's consistently covered. Is it going to be absolutely perfect to, an agronomist standards? Depends on the agronomist, but as long as that seed is colored and covered evenly, generally you're going to be okay.
Is there a point where you can apply too much product?
Yes. And that's one of the things too, is you never want to be gumming up that product, gumming up your machines, gumming up that seed. Generally, a lot of times we'll get those questions, can I apply at half rate? Or even, it'd go 1.5 rate on any variety of products. And the general kind of line I always come back to is these products are expensive and they've been tested to work at the rates on the label. So generally, try to make sure that we're staying as close to that label rate as possible. If we're saying, is it better to go too light or too heavy? I would always just default to say, let's get it as close to label rate as we can.
Great. So we've treated the seed, we've gone through the proper processes, and now we have put the treated seed into the ground. How long does that seed treatment provide us protection? And do certain environmental conditions affect it?
Depends, again, the typical agronomist cop out, 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, depending on those conditions, depending on everything's going on there. So, Southern Alberta, I'm very much a proponent of ultra early seeding, but we also have to have conversation that, again, the seed treatment is going to wear off over time. So generally 3 to 4 weeks.
Can you talk about the environmental conditions that might affect how long a seed treatment lasts?
I would say, hot and wet is probably when it's going to last the least. If those soils are colder, it's not going to be as active. But again, as those soils warm up, we can see crops out of the ground, in less than a week. And sometimes it can take 2 to 3 weeks for those crops to get out of the ground. So it's not to say that that fungicide is going to wear off fast in those conditions, in those cool and wet or cool and dry conditions, but it is going to wear off. And that's the biggest thing, is you want to have some of that production up to the first couple of leaves, if at all possible. And the longer it's in the ground, just the more variables we're introducing at play for sure.
So you mentioned in our conversations beforehand, the topic of biostimulants. Can you tell us what a biostimulant is and how it's different than a seed treatment?
Well, biostimulant is going to be any biological product. We have seaweed products, we have bacteria, we have synthetic hormones. And what they're going to do is they're going to upregulate or downregulate a plant's response to environmental stressors. It would kind of just be a general catch-all kind of description on biostimulants. When we're looking at what they're going to do, they're going to help a plant battle environmental conditions for sure, but they're not going to have any effect on the diseases that are going to be present in the soil or the insect pressures that are going to be present in the soil. So, when we look at this, when we look at biostimulants, we're dealing with the Pacific Ocean right now. We know 3 to 5% of what's going on. And I'm very bullish on these products, but I would caution that a yes and. And if we're going to apply to these products on our farm, make sure that we're applying in addition to the grower standard practice, what we're doing already. Don't substitute that seed treatment. They're an addition to your platform. They're not going to allow you to substitute anything else on your agronomy protocol for sure. So if we're looking at these, make sure that we're adding them in addition to our fungicide seed treatment. Have a conversation with your seed treatment company if that's okay for mixing order or anything like that. They're going to supplement your existing agronomy. They're not going to be able to actually subtract, because if it's too good to be true, generally it is. So, and when we're looking at any of these products, you know, if we see a new canola variety, a new wheat variety that's 2 to 3% better than the previous genetics, we get really excited as plant breeders. And that's kind of my background. There's no chemical, there's no biostimulant product that's going to get us 10 to 15%. All these products are going to allow us to do is 1 to 2% every year as well. So just would take a, you know, a grain of salt and a little ounce of caution when it comes to dealing with these biostimulant products as a seed treatment.
So you did talk about using a biostimulant and a fungicide. Is there compatibility issues that you have to be aware of? Thanks, Derek, for all this great information. So is there any other final tips that you would like to leave us with?
You know, we can always have conversations about good agronomy, and I think that's absolutely paramount. You know, we mentioned about putting seed in the ground for 3 to 4 weeks in advance in cool conditions. We have some farms in Western Canada where logistics and agronomy, we have to have that trade-off. So again, you know, when you're having that conversation, you know, with your agronomist, with your retailers, with your extension agents, just, you know, make sure everybody's still on the same page. The right answer for one farm that I could give would be an absolute wrong answer for another farm. So again, make sure you're having those conversations on a crop plan. And, you know, we all know plans go by the wayside. So just make sure that we're setting the expectations for those as we go as well. And especially when it comes to seeding this time of the year, we got a short window to get every crop into the ground. But when it comes to treating seed, when it comes to setting depth, when it comes to setting packers, when it comes to what rates of fertilizer we're putting with the seed or in the band, these are all very important things. And that would just be my kind of one final call out. You know, make sure that we're absolutely being safe out there, but make sure we're taking the time at seeding as we're getting those drills going, you know, for switching crops, taking the time again. We only got one shot to put the seed in the ground generally to make it count.
Thanks, Derek, for joining us today and providing us some really great information. And we hope that you have a great field season.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Wheat Profit Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Wheat Profit Podcast. For more information on wheat agronomy, policy and advocacy, and wheat research, please visit our website at saskwheat.ca.